Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Record gun sales again, Lee. We do this every month.
To the surprise of no one.
Right, yeah. So gun sales for July up 133%.
More than double for those of you at Common Core Math.
Yes, that's like double plus a third. But yeah. I'm sorry, that's probably too hard if you're on Common Core Math.
And it would take you probably 1,000 pages to explain how to get the answer. So.
It would. You got to do charts and diagrams and you're just getting the answer. But anyway, 133% increase over last July. These are insane numbers. And we have African Americans buying guns at what appears to be a record rate, and joining groups representing African Americans with guns. Scott in Greenville is on the line to talk about that. Hey, Scott.
Hey, good morning, Tara. I'm going to be quick because I've got a client holding for me. But my numbers are just a couple of percentage points off of yours, but still show dramatic increases over this time last year, according to the National Shooting Sports Foundation. And the largest increase, as you said, has been among Black men and women, which is up 58% over last year. So my question for those Black men and women who have gone out and felt the need to buy those guns and ammunition, I guess I got two questions for them. First of all, did those people go out and buy six-shot revolvers and single-shot hunting rifles, or did they go out and buy semi-automatic firearms with higher capacity magazines, which the Democrats will want to take away from them if they're elected in November? So are these Black men and women going to vote away their gun rights come November? So that's my question to them. You know, Jamie Harrison is so afraid of this question that Jamie Harrison won't even post his stance on guns on his website. Go take a look. It's not there.
Yeah, he's the Democrat running for U.S. Senate here in South Carolina against Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, and he won't even address his stance on guns. It's not on his website. I go out there about every 2 weeks and check. No mention of his gun policy on his website. None.
Yeah, and it's been shocking how little the left has talked about gun control. Have you noticed that lately?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not normal for them. Normally they want to disarm you. So, yeah, thank you, Scott. I'll let you get back to your client. Thank you for listening to the show. So that's going on. I want to follow up on this, Lee, because this is just a preview of what living in a blue city is going to be like. It's about Seattle Police Chief Carmen Best, who is Black, and she has tried to reason with Dingbat Durkin, the mayor, and now the city council of Seattle. And she wrote them a letter after 200 protesters showed up at her Snohomish County residence. Okay, you got to see the picture of this. This is just, the picture's worth 1,000 words. So she writes a letter to the council saying, look, a large group of aggressive protesters have targeted her house. Could the council please condemn this? Now, you got to realize one of the council members who's an avowed socialist actually led the protesters in breaking into City Hall. So, I mean, this is what you're dealing with, right?
No.
So far, the city council has refused to condemn this. They had bought paint and other materials to use to graffiti her home, because that's what you do now. If you don't like somebody, you just attack them, their property, that sort of thing. It's the democracy the Democrats keep telling us we're going to love. Okay. What is stunning is the picture of her neighbor. She wasn't home. A couple of these guys, they all drove up, right? Because it's kind of out in the country. where this is, not somewhere you could walk to from the city. And they start driving up, and they're getting out, and they're screaming and yelling and, you know, die pigs and all that stuff. You know, stuff they do. They're very nice people.
Yeah.
And
peaceful protesters.
Very peaceful. And so the neighbors were like, heck no. They finally pulled funny you mentioned a Prius, a pickup truck in what looks like a Prius. I kid you not.
Well, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Right. Across the road, right? And they're sitting in the truck, and I mean, they've got rifles. They're not even messing around with pistols. Here's the cool thing about it: just looking at who's out there protecting the neighborhood, about half are black and half are white.
So a bipartisan, and or at least a biracial group, a diverse group of citizens. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Blocked the road and wouldn't let the protesters through.
Right.
Now, if you look at the protesters, what's interesting about them? They're mostly white.
Yeah.
So this whole idea where the media tries to shut down discussion of topics like this, it's black versus white. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Not like they make it out to be.
And isn't it interesting that a mostly white crowd of protesters is trying to trespass and deface the property of a black woman in a position of power?
Yeah.
Welcome to America in 2020.
It's about the power. They just use race. They'll use whatever. If it's something new next week, they use that too. Okay, listen to this. Protesters that were there that night say they're disappointed in Best's letter to the council, demanding the council condemn the protesters. They feel that they were the victims. The aggressors, they say, were the neighbors Best praised. All we were doing was walking, and they met us with guns.
Yeah, right.
I don't know who the aggressor is at that point, but I don't think it's us, said Nicole Gitaka, a demonstrator with the Everyday March. Now, the neighbors say, they told local police, they were screaming and yelling. They wanted her dead. They had brought paint and spray cans of paint and then buckets of paint. Because this is what you do now. You go to the mayor's house and literally destroy it with paint. But they were turned back by the, you know, members of the neighborhood.
Try that out in the country where I live. You'll be wearing that home.
You'll be lucky if you're going home.
Well,
if you're on somebody's property,
I'm not
going to
make
violent.
Any violent threats.
No. But I mean, you're on somebody's property.
Oh, yeah.
Around here, and you're telling, you know, you're calling for them to be killed, and yeah, I mean, it's private property. I mean, that's a death threat. They're well within their rights to remove you from the premises. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Didn't some lawyers just get arrested for doing the same thing?
You're talking about Missouri or whatever. Yeah, they were defending their property. Yeah. And of course, that was a little bit different situation because those two attorneys were in a gated community, which means the people that were on the street were already breaking and entering and had destroyed property because they tore down a gate to get into the gated community.
I love this one. This is this Gitaka woman, right? The leader of the mob, who, by the way, is white. OK, she's been repelled by these. They look about half of them are white, half are black to me. They have very large guns, all of them. You can see who bought all the guns in America. They live in Carmen Best neighborhood in Seattle. OK, this is from the article. This is King 5, mm-hmm. I guess their local television station. OK, so Gitaka and her fellow protesters said they were met by Best neighbors who blocked the road and displayed guns. They said they attempted to talk to the neighbors and explain what they were doing there and get them to move out of the road, but they reportedly refused. She said they tried to explain what Black Lives Matter was about, but that the neighbors did not want to listen. They only wanted them to leave the neighborhood. The protesters ended up leaving the neighborhood when they felt unsafe.
So if people are blocking a roadway trying to protect their neighborhood and they're not a member of a protest group, that's bad. But if protest group wants to block a roadway and interstate and stop people from using that interstate that their tax dollars paid for to get to work or maybe get to the hospital or a doctor that they need to go see, then that's fine. That's fine.
Good point. Anyway, so the protesters are very, very upset about this. They're encouraging the council not to censor them or speak out against them or whatever. This says, for the most part, council members did not publicly respond to Best's written request. Again, all they want is a condemnation of the protesters and to say, do not go to the police chief's home, please. Do not harass her neighbors. But that is apparently a step too far for the Seattle City Council. Lee, the problem here, you know what's going to happen? All these people, they're going to move here. They're going to all move here. They just want to be safe. And then they're going to vote. That's the problem. Because they don't see the causality here. There's a cause and effect here.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, I was stunned several weeks back when the media largely said absolutely nothing about the George Floyd transcript being released. That's the transcript of the officer's body cam footage that preceded the video you've already seen, the one with the officer on the man's neck. Pretty horrifying video. Hard to watch. You'd think this would be a big deal. This is only the biggest story in the country. I mean, it's why people are running wild, burning stuff down, billions of dollars worth of damage. I mean, you'd think the media would be all over the transcript. But unless you listen to this show, you might not have even known it was released. And you wouldn't know this either, that they had gagged, the court had gagged all the officers from speaking until last week. They couldn't defend themselves. And you wouldn't have known that that transcript would have never been released had the lawyer for one of the officers not fought to have it released. They didn't want the public to see the transcript. They definitely don't want the public to see the video. It's out, by the way, despite their best efforts to hide it. Outed by the British media, as usual, doing the entire job of the U.S. media, the Daily Mail alone, got leaked footage. Leaked the George Floyd body cam footage. The media enraged by this yesterday. More upset that the video was out than wanting to tell you what was in it. And then they selectively cut it. I would suggest watching it yourself. They like to focus on the part where George Floyd screams in terror, allegedly because a gun is pointed at him. Now, you can't see in the video if they point a gun at him. They say in the Daily Mail report that a gun was pointed at him. I didn't see it, but you know, maybe they have a part I can't see. I don't know. But the footage is stunning. George Floyd is clearly out of his mind. And that's not just my opinion. Folks comment on it during the video, people who were there with him and onlookers. And what it shows, and this is just not good for the prosecution, is Floyd wailing in pain before anyone lays a finger on him. It shows that he was, in fact, foaming at the mouth, as the transcript suggests. It shows that he's on drugs. That they all knew he was on drugs. And it shows him saying he can't breathe over and over and over while standing there and breathing. So it certainly adds some context. About 10 minutes of it, I should say this, it shows basically, there's parts of it missing, but it shows that he fought them for 10 minutes. They never did get him into the police car. And it shows that they clearly thought he was ODing, and that's why they called the ambulance. And even George Floyd told the officers he believed he would die. Again, I've told you this story before, that Floyd, and you can read this in the transcripts, a more complete account. Floyd's big beef with the officers, he didn't want to go in the car because he thought he was going to die. And he didn't want to die alone, which is just sad and pathetic and just sad. You just want to hug the guy or something. You could tell him he's falling apart. Daily Mail also reporting he had 5 mg in his system of fentanyl, or he had more than 5. Actually, he had 11. 5 is the bottom line fatal amount. The average person who ODs and dies on fentanyl in the U.S. has 9. He had 11 in his system. That doesn't count the other drugs in his system, the meth, the THC. There was one more. What was the other one? So this is interesting. It's very, very interesting. What we still do not know, and it's something that we have burned our cities without knowing this, is when he died. Did he die with the officer's knee on his neck? Did he die in the ambulance after? We don't know. Now, if only the media or someone honest would tell the people what they're looking at. It was common practice, as we pointed out again and again, for the Minneapolis PD to subdue people with one of two holds. They're both in the training manual, or they were until a couple weeks ago. One is the conscious neck hold, the other is the unconscious neck hold. Both of those are applied with the knee to the neck. The conscious neck hold, the goal of that is to subdue the person without knocking them out. The unconscious neck hold, the goal of that is to knock the person out. That's what you were trying to do, knock them slap out, which they did 44 times in 5 years, according to NBC News. This is June 1st, 2020. Headline, Minneapolis police rendered 44 people unconscious with neck restraints in 5 years. So, folks who've seen that neck video think it's just a racist who decided to put his knee on the neck. They have no idea he was trained to do that. Or that there are two types of neck holds, and the goal of one of them is to knock the guy out. Now, should he have done it for over 8 minutes? I don't know. Jury will have to decide that. The interesting thing about the Minneapolis police training book, the manual, is that it doesn't put a time limit on the unconscious neck hold, which is a little weird. But incredibly, they used it, according to NBC News, 237 times in 5 years, both the conscious and unconscious neck hold, and it never killed anybody, told George Floyd, which is surprising to me watching it. I mean, it seems like that would kill you. But it didn't, including the 44 times they used it before George Floyd. So when you can clearly see him saying, I can't breathe, when you can clearly see that he believes he will die because of the overdose, and in the transcript, he tells the officers that he had inserted those drugs in his rectum. So, I mean, he got the mega dose. Start to see how Keith Ellison, the attorney general for that state, might be right that this is not going to be slam dunk to get this conviction. Remember, Keith Ellison initially only wanted to charge Officer Derek Chauvin with second-degree murder, and then they burnt some more stuff, and he had to up it to first? Yeah, this is why. There's not a first-degree murder conviction here. There's just a really sad man who, by the way, on the body cam footage, this part is part of it, begging the police to put him on the ground instead of the back of the cruiser. They did, with disastrous results for everyone involved. By the way, should mention the autopsy. No evidence of asphyxiation and no damage to the tissues of his throat. So the rest of it, they'll have to hash out in court. Can't wait to see that.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ralph writes in an email to me, Tara@1063WORD.com. Hey, Tara, what do you want to bet they will make sure the officer is acquitted right before the election? And did Keith Ellison himself release this footage to make sure it happens that way? Think of the timely riots you could gin up. He has already overcharged the officer so that he probably can't get a conviction. So why not release the evidence that will help acquit him? It's possible. Nobody knows who leaked the body cam footage. We do know they didn't want it out. This is par for the course. They do this in case after case. This is what they did. This is they pioneered this, as far as I know, with Trayvon Martin. I mean, because we thought by the time we got to that trial, right, of George Zimmerman, we thought that we knew everything. I mean, every damning detail had leaked. So it was shocking to see the photos that somehow did not leak and were not released of the back of George Zimmerman's head, which was darn near bashed in, you know, from being smashed again and again into the concrete by Trayvon Martin, who was at the time on top of him and grappling for the gun. Yes, that's right. He held his head and smashed it again and again and again into the concrete. We did not find that out till the trial. We didn't find it out at all. And that's what they do. That's what they're doing with the George Floyd video. It's why they didn't want it out. It's why a judge gagged until last week when the lawyer got it overturned, all of them from defending themselves. Although don't be surprised if they don't speak until the trial because anything they say could be used against them. So their attorneys will say, don't defend yourself. But this is just like the Trayvon Martin case. They didn't intend for this to come out till the trial. And they didn't want it widely viewed until then, because then you would start to see that this George Floyd case, like so many before it, that's been presented to the public by the media as, you know, open and shut, is really, really quite murky. It's really gray. There's a lot of well, ifs, ands, and buts about it. And no, it is not clear that George Floyd died from anything the officer did to him. Becomes more clear as you watch the beginning of the video. Now, he may have died from what the officer did to him. I don't know. The thing is, nobody else does either. That's what's so compelling. So compelling about it. But they didn't want it out before the election. I don't think they did. I'd be surprised if they try him before the election, Ralph. But they definitely didn't want the tape out there. And like the media ignored the transcript, they're either going to edit this selectively, as some stations have already done, or they're just going to ignore it. Because it doesn't fit the narrative, and they want to keep the burning. They want the burning to continue. The burning of the stuff. Okay, well, the migration has begun. Now you're thinking, what, is it hunting season? No, not that migration. Not the deer or the elk or the water buffalo. Nope, the great migration across the hemisphere of the illegal immigrants stampeding toward America. And what pray tell is driving them? Well, my guess in part would be that Joe Biden announced that he plans to welcome all 160 million of the world's migrants to the U.S. All of them? Yes, all of them. It's in the Biden-Sanders plan. Wish Trump would talk about it more. It'd be easier to win the election, but hey, he never makes it easy on himself. But they noticed as soon as Joe Biden's Biden-Sanders plan came out last week, the thundering herd began. I'll let Tom Homan explain to you why. This is a must-hear segment on Fox News because it perfectly nails Biden's plan and the reason that illegals are flooding the border again. They're trying to get here in anticipation of a Biden win.
The 2020 election could really impact immigration for years to come, but our next guest says the Biden effect, he calls it, has already begun. Retired acting ICE director Tom Homan credits a massive uptick in border crossings to Joe Biden's immigration plan, even before the election has happened.
Well, look, when you got the Democratic nominee for president, Joe Biden, on national TV saying three things. Number one, he's going to stop all deportations on day one of his presidency. Mm-hmm. Two, when deportations resume, he's only going to deport those who are convicted of serious felonies. And three, he's going to give free health care, the best health care system in the world, to illegal aliens. It doesn't take an immigration expert or border expert to realize what that's going to do. It's an enticement for more people to come because he sent a message to the rest of the world. It's okay to enter this country illegally. It's okay to violate the laws of this country. It's okay to displace American work and work here illegally. As long as you don't commit a serious felony, we're never going to be deported. What do you think? And that message already got down, the cartels already gearing up, and the numbers are already starting to tick up because the poll says Joe Biden may win the presidency. It's already started.
And we can show you those numbers here. Apprehensions from May to June of this year, more than 30,000 migrants attempting to cross into the country over the border. That's a 40% increase from just the month before. So they really are ticking up. And, you know, I mean, the news gets to Mexico. Our news gets down there. They have Fox News in Mexico. You know, you've got the news is that the president is likely to lose the election right now. He's down in the polls. And you have a lot of rhetoric from the left talking about free health care, free college, universal basic income. How enticing is that to people living, you know, beneath the poverty line in Mexico?
Look, I've been around a long time, 35 years doing this job. I'm telling you right now, if Joe Biden was to win the presidency, which I don't think he's going to, but if he did, we lose all the success this president has had on the border. President Trump, 85% decline in illegal immigration goes away on day one. We lose the border under President Joe Biden.
Yeah, that's by design. Remember, what did he say he's going to do first? This is why they're flooding the border. Amnesty. Day one. Amnesty. It's amazing, by the way, he's still using the 11 million figure. That's been debunked. Department of Homeland Security has upped it to 22 million at least. That's the official U.S. government number. But it doesn't want to scare people. I'm here to tell you it's between 40 and 60. And you can confidently say that. Here's how I know. 1996, I tracked it back in LexisNexis, the first known mention that I could find anywhere in the media of the illegal immigrant population numbers in America, 11 million, dates back to 1996. So when Biden says 11 million amnesty, you got to assume nobody came since 1996. The problem with that is our own Department of Homeland Security estimates about 1,000 illegals a year wind up in this country, about 60% from the borders. The other 40 come from, you know, visa overstays. It's about 1 million a year, right? That's been going on. Pretty close to 1 million a year, or a little below or a little above, works out on average to about 1 million a year since the year 2000. Okay, it's 2020. So that's 20 million, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, add the 11 million from 1996 on top of that. That's, what are we at now, 31? Okay. Throw in four more years. What are we at, 35? He knows what it is. They're going to do amnesty the first day. Why would you do amnesty the first day? Because you got to have time. I mean, they're going to have to get their citizenship and be able to vote. And let me tell you what they're going to do. It's going to be shocking. If you're telling them yourself, well, it'll take years before they can vote, they'll fix that. And I'll never forget this. The night they thought they had amnesty under Bush, and they thought they had the votes, it would, by the next morning, they wouldn't have them. The coalition would fall apart. But they thought they had the votes. And Republicans and Democrats were already out that evening saying, well, we need to follow this up with more legislation to give them the vote. I mean, we can't have a population this large living in America that can't vote. That's so unfair. They don't have voting rights. So that, yeah, trust me, when the Democrats do this, they win if Trump loses, they will win the Senate. So when the Democrats do this, they're going to do it simultaneously. They will give them the pathway to citizenship and the vote. I'm telling you, they will have them voting so fast your head will spin. And when they vote, it is over. That's what's at stake in this election. When they vote, it is over. There will not be another Republican president. Not for a real, real long time, if ever. And any future Republican president will run in a party you don't recognize. It's recognizably Republican. There will never be another Republican-controlled House. Texas will flip. Florida will flip. North Carolina will flip. South Carolina go deep purple, if not blue. I mean, that's what's at stake. Everything is at stake. All of it. And so when that happens, what you're going to see is what Tucker Carlson has told us, and he's right. They will, once they know they've got that amnesty down and it's over, and we're going to have a one-party system from here on out, with the GOP just being a small regional party in a couple places, they'll then do what they plan to do next, which is reconstitute the Supreme Court. They can add or take away as many justices as they like. That's constitutional. This is why you're seeing John Roberts suddenly act like a liberal. This is why they wrote him a letter last year demanding he act like a liberal. This is why Chuck Schumer threatened them on the steps of the Supreme Court. Vote how we want or we're coming for you. All this is at stake on Election Day, folks. This is the most important election of our lifetimes. I know you're tired of hearing that, but that's exactly how it'll go. I don't mean to scare you, but that's what the deal is. And they're already heading over the border in anticipation of it. That border will never close again.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Mind's blown yesterday. Here's some good news after the last segment. Mind's blown yesterday as President Trump hits 51% approval in Rasmussen's likely voter daily tracking poll. My favorite. Well, I look at this every day. 51%. To give you some idea, he was at 46% on the day that he won the presidency in 2016. What makes these latest numbers so stunning is that Trump pulled in at 51% among likely voters yesterday. Obama, on the same day of his presidency, was at 44% in the same poll. So you may have seen some swirl out there lately. Good news for Trump. Okay, here's the thing with the tracking poll. Trump bounces back and forth. I've told you this, between about 43 on at his worst, all the way on up to, yeah, roughly 51%. 51's high for him. So he bounces roughly on a 7-point range. So I don't like to make too much of it when he's up. And I'm not going to do that. That's why I haven't mentioned it much. And I don't like to make too much of it when he's down because he just bounces back and forth. Now, we hope to God he's on the 50% side and not the 43% side on election day, which is good. But concern about the economy is growing, and it seems that voters trust Trump more than Biden to fix it. He's got a good track record on that. So he's had some good polls lately. I do not know if that is going to equal electoral success or not. It's hard to say, but the polls have trended back in his direction, which is usually when he sticks his foot in his mouth. He's Trump. That's what he does. So we'll see. Going to be interesting, but, you know, some good news there. We shall see. Can you imagine if Biden opens that? I just the game is out. Biden opens the borders. He's planning to. Everybody welcome to come, all the world's migrants, which Pew Charitable Trust, their estimate is there are 160 million of them. They're all welcome to come to the U.S., Biden says in his Biden-Sanders plan. And just, you know, come here and you can stay forever and we'll give you free health care. And you get to wait in the country for your case to be adjudicated, not outside. And until your case is heard, you get the welfare benefits. It's great. It's going to be great. So they're all come here, right? The border be wide open. We're going to freeze hiring of the Border Patrol. We're going to cut it by 25%, but we're freeze hiring. So gradually there will be no more Border Patrol over time. As you know, there's atrophy. People leave their job, retire, and they just won't replace it, which won't really matter since we're not going to do any border reinforcement anyway, other than, you know, handing people their Welcome to America sheets when they come through the door. I mean, this is the Biden plan, right? Can you imagine if that is coupled with depolicing? What's to stop the cartels from moving into our big cities? What's to stop them? We've already seen the shift, and this used to be, and this they did a really good job on this in the Miami Herald. It used to be that the cartels would send people here. The leaders wouldn't dare come. They don't want to be in the country. They don't want to be caught by the feds, put away for life. Then they began catching higher ranking cartel members. They're coming into the country now. They're not as afraid. Folks, they will move slap into this country. They will take over cities. They will fill the void where the police are or used to be. Maybe before the Democrats can do it with their federal police force. That is the ultimate goal, to replace the local police with the feds. It'll be interesting. Or none of that could happen because Trump wins the election. We'll see.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.